first of all, could you, let's go back to like how the band originally started. Could you tell me how, when the band was condemned to death, how it originally came to be in the spring of 83?
Well, yeah, that was 1983. I remember springtime. Basically, I was in San Francisco growing up there. The band was playing looking for a bass player at the time when they were in what's called the VAT. The VATs were an old brewery that had was no longer running, and bands were practicing inside the beer vat. So that's why they call it the VATs. It was pretty a lot of bands were playing there, DRI and MDC and a whole bunch of other bands, and we ended up getting on their label then. But a friend of mine called me, said they needed a bass player. I came down. I was, I think, 16, 17 years old, and, you know, I was so excited that I just joined the band right away. And we started playing and went on tour and put out a couple little records, and it was a great beginning. That's actually, so that's where we started, and it was in San Francisco amongst all the other bands that were going on at the same time, like I mentioned.
Okay.
So it was a good scene then.
What sort of influences did the band have back in those days?
Well, you know, back then, I was more of a metalhead, actually. And then, you know, of course, that was when all the Metallica and Exodus and all the bands were, you know, just getting started, and we were all kind of like local people hanging out. And I'd actually go back and forth between what they call the Stone, which was sort of the metal club. It was across the street from the punk club. So to be honest, for my music, it was, I was, you know, back then wearing Angel Whip shirts while I was playing punk shows. So it was sort of a lot of new wave of British heavy metal on my part, but it didn't really show up till a little bit more into my next records. There was definitely that influence. And you know, punk rock was always sort of kind of make fun of things too. So we'd have a few songs that were kind of spoof songs about, you know, like we had a song called Hairspray Randy that was about one of the Puffhead bands at the time. You know, they were coming out like Poison and.
Okay, did you end up meeting any of those, like, bands you mentioned, like Metallica and that, like, because they're from San Francisco as well?
Oh, yeah. No, actually, back then, see, we have a friend named Ron Quintana. Used to have a radio show, and he, you know, basically, that's what supported all the local bands back then. So, yeah, Metallica, I mean, I distinctly remember James and, I believe it was Cliff, coming over and, you know, coming over to the house that I had when I was in Condemned to Death and, you know, just rocking out to Sweet one night and, you know, just drinking beers and, you know, that's how local it was back then. We'd go over to Root 10, and they'd be hanging out there too, and, you know, Cliff Burt when he's still around, and Exodus and all those guys, you know, sort of swap, you know, we're all in the same scene. And that's also where I ended up meeting an Attitude singer from in that scene too, Andy Anderson, who was eventually part of our other lineup when we were in Condemned Attitude. I was part of that, kind of basically that whole metal punk crossover era. So that was a huge influence, but of course our other influence was growing up in the Bay Area with all the San Francisco music. There's also, you know, so many influences, and the early punk stuff was much more less fast and just a little bit more, how should I put it, different, a lot more artistic stretches there, you know, in the early punk scene in San Francisco, which I first was growing up around. But at the same time, Santana and all those bands and all this Latin music was being played around us too. Well, as all the other happening, you know, psychedelic.
Yeah. What were your impressions of Cliff then, considering, you know, obviously he passed away and a lot of people never really knew him, so probably a lot of people...
Yeah, that, you know, in a certain way, Cliff was, you know, especially me being a bass player, you know, he was kind of, I wouldn't say the heart and the soul, but, you know, we really miss him a lot on that level. He had a strong influence, and, you know, there's definitely, he had his own, you know, he really liked bands like Lynyrd Skynyrd and all bands that you would never think of, and it would influence the band that way, I remember. And I don't think I've heard a bass player that stood out, you know, on vinyl as much as he did. The other band, the new bass player's great, but you don't hear him on the vinyl so much. So he was, you know, we missed him because he was an authentic musician, and the rest are too. It just, he was somebody that we all, you know, everyone got along with.
Were the band more influenced by, like, American punk then, or, like, British punk?
What was the beginning of the question?
Was the band more influenced by American punk bands or British punk bands?
Well, when you're asking, the first part of the question was, I was in Condemned to Death. I was much
a lot of metal and punk, but a lot of European punk. Because when I was over there, I was listening to a lot of English Conflict, Zounds, squatter punk music, and a lot more, like the Bastards. So I really liked them back then. And so it was much more of a different influence, and that changed sound for me a lot. And then when I came back to America, I was playing with Attitude when the guitar player was from Germany, so he actually had a European influence too at the time.
Could you like provide me like obviously like you couldn't go into like depth as such, but could you provide me an outline of the band's history for people wondering? Because like it don't seem to be a lot of information on the internet and that type of thing. I'm assuming they're in the old fanzines and that type of thing, but.
Yes, I guess, the reason I put together the compilation for this was sort of, since there wasn't one band that carried the name, what it was is I ended up going to all these different bands over the years, and so it was a little bit more obscure history here and there. When I moved to Australia, I played with Death Sentence for the first part of the time that I was there, and so I put a song that was just a practice song just to document that on this compilation. And then I recorded I was in Vicious Circle, and that was, and this was all right after Condemned to Death broke up. So Condemned to Death was together about a year and a half. Then I moved to Australia and did the Condemned record. And I was playing with Vicious Circle. And then I came back to America, and then we released the Attitude record. But before that, we did a couple demo tapes as Condemned Attitude. So we were sort of playing around with this Condemned name, reintroducing it into different bands. But of course, it just confused people, I'm sure. So that's kind of why we've gone back to just trying to explain the foundation name is Condemned to Death, because that's where it all started for me. Then I basically, my whole solo project was Condemned with a question mark, and that's what we're doing again, is Condemned all over again with mixing everything we ever did from every Condemned project we had. and I'm playing with a lot of the old members from Attitude, and that's so that sort of brings it together as well. So there's very much old friends, and it's very exciting to play with them.
Have you always had your hand in the music scene then, or has it been like period where maybe you say didn't play for a while or anything of that nature?
Oh no, you mean have I been playing all these years, or have we been as a band?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, we've all been playing all these years. It's just as different projects. Sort of. That's why I put this comp together to sort of show. Okay, and then after this one band, we did this next project, and now we're all coming back together with the. With the focus of doing basically a little bit of everything, and the new music too. So it's kind of like a best of everything we've done in our history. And then, as far as we've all been continuously playing just in different names, so it gets a little confusing, and that's why we decided to go back to just Damned as the root foundation, and just stick with that, and stick with what we really got excited about in the beginning of our careers. So it's basically like progressive punk metal type music with anything goes kind of.
Why did the band sign another record deal with Nuclear Blast, who had released like one of the band's records like about 20 odd years ago or so?
Well, there was a couple of reasons that he re-released it. Partially.
No, why did the band re-sign like to do a new record and?
Oh, with them.
Yeah.
Well, in general, we signed with Nuclear Blast because they did our earlier record when he first started his label. The first Condemned album I was mentioning in Australia was released as his first album ever. So that was more of a nostalgic thing for him to say, let's re-release this. And he wasn't really aware that we were still playing, we had just started playing together and had a bunch of songs we were working on, and so it was just sort of good timing. I think, to be honest, we all met, we just reconnected over the internet. as far as me and Marcus from Nuclear Blast, we sort of got reconnected over all these years, and, it was just sort of more of a friendship beginnings, and then realizing, since everything was, we were playing music, why don't we put out the new album as well? So, that's kind of how it all came together. It wasn't a huge, it was just sort of all good timing. And we've all been playing actively now, and we're really excited to start promoting it as well. Over maybe come over to Wales if we can.
Yeah, definitely play Cardiff.
Yeah, well, basically we're talking to booking. booking agents right now for Europe and various, you know, I think they're more thinking of mainland Europe. I'm not really sure who would handle that, but, you know, we're looking into it. If you got any leads, let us know.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely will. Talk me through how this new record came to shape, obviously the first disc, which is consists of new material.
Well, how did it come together, or...?
Yeah, how it took shape, yeah, like, the writing process and so on.
Well, I mean, to be honest, a lot of the songs were songs that we were all working on individually, or that we restructured from the past, too. Some songs that we never recorded, we were like, wow, we'd really like to reuse some of those riffs. So we take some of the best riffs from some of the older songs, or basically some redo some of the older songs that we liked, and then the new stuff we had already written individually, and then we just taught each other some of them. So it was basically already a record made in our heads. So once we got together, we were just so excited to play these songs again. But to be honest, we have so much new material already, we're already excited to do a new record, because now that we've really been playing together, we have all this new music flowing out of us as well. But these were things that we're so familiar with that we also said, hey, let's start with a few of these songs, and three of the songs actually are from the first Condemned to Death 7-inch, because we wanted to really kind of go back to the root, the hardcore stuff, just sort of to say hello to our roots and introduce that. I mean, I don't know if we're always going to keep writing every song that way. We'll sort of see how that goes. But, yeah, I mean, it came together. And what's really nice is I actually really like every song on the record, and I realized how short it was, but it didn't really feel that way when we were writing it.
Short and sweet.
Yeah, you know, it's got a lot of power in it. And, you know, and we're also sort of, to be honest, this was sort of a first time that we introduced another lead singer, or I used to do a lot of the singing. But we're both singing on this one. And, so it's kind of exciting to see what we come up with, sort of this lineup way.
Is the band still with Nuclear Blast, like, for another record as well, or not?
Well, you know, to be honest, we haven't really even talked about exactly how far we're going to go with it with Nuclear Blast. I would love to do another record with them. As I said, we already have another one in our heads. But, you know, since it's sort of a new beginning thing, and I don't think anyone really knows where we fit in. You know, it's like, I mean, I know that we started from the hardcore crowd. I'm not really sure if people would listen to the record and say they thought it was hardcore anymore since it's been so long. That's really up to you folks who listen to it. You know, when I listen to it, I almost go, wow, it almost sounds like a Motorhead album or something. You know, so I don't know what people will think. As far as, you know, what category. So that sometimes is real hard to book us, and that's where I find we're really working on that.
Well, some people might call it metal punk or something, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, we kind of considered it progressive punk metal or, you know, or metalcore. I don't really know if that fits.
No metalcore, don't worry about.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. I think we would be almost more fun to play with certain metal bands. I mean, we grew up with playing with like Opening Up for Death Angel when we were younger, and we just so happened to be on the label with them again, or Exodus, or any of those guys are our friends, or DRI, or you know. I started thinking about more established bands that you know do know who we are, but you know that we're a little different than everyone else. So kind of better to play with bands that don't quite sound just like you. That way everyone doesn't get bored, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I think a lot of promoters should take your advice, to be honest.
Well, you know, that way, yeah, if we mix it up, then everyone's entertained, hopefully.
What was it like to work with Billy, Billy Anderson?
Oh, it was great, because actually I worked with Billy in my band Something Scaly back in 1992, right before we did an Australia tour. We worked with him and did a demo tape, so we could go over there, and that was the beginning of his career, apparently. And then, you know, he obviously worked over the years with all these other bands like Sleep and Melvins. And the reason also I picked him, to be honest, is I'm a bass player and I write a lot of the music, and I'm always a little worried about getting lost in the mix. So he's a bass player too, and I really knew that he was from, you know, he walks his talk. He's a musician and an engineer. He goes on tour and he also is in the studio. So I really felt like he would be he was a help. He made it more of a family feeling, you know, very comfortable for everyone to be in the studio together. And yeah, he basically dealt with all our personalities pretty good. So he made it really a great album, as well as he held up the low end, and we had it mastered with somebody he recommended that held the low end really well too, and we were very pleased with it all around. So we're definitely going to work with him again. And he would love to go out on tour with us as well, he said, so we'll see how that goes.
What was it like working with him this time around compared to in 1992 when you done a demo room?
Oh, well, you know, it's definitely, we all have all grown over the years, you know, and been through certain experiences. You know, it was definitely, he had a whole lot more tools in his toolbox for the studio, and we were in a much better studio than first bed. That also was, we had amps and a very nice live kind of sound. So it was great, you know, because he really knows how to sort of, you know, speak with what's necessary and field everything and hang out with everyone at the same time. So, you know, it was much better all around. We were all just much more experienced, can I say. That really helped.
What sort of musical influences did you have for this record? Where do you musically come from nowadays, so to speak?
Well, you know, we like so many different styles of music. I mean, obviously, we're I'm going to a certain formula of stuff that was our roots right now, where we, you know, we do really, you know, actually, a couple of us really love UK subs, but it doesn't necessarily always show up because they're faster music. But, you know, what I listen to and what I play style-wise is sometimes much different. You know, because I tend to listen to, I'm listening to a lot of the records that Nuclear Blast is sending me. I like Meshuggah a lot right now. I was like, oh, that's tough. But, you know, I think we have a little bit more melody. So, you know, honestly, I just watched a Rush documentary and it really excited me. You know, on the songwriting level, I really liked Rush when I was younger. And I know it's not heavy music, but the songwriting was really an influence for me and the drummer, I think, a lot. But at the same time, I love the new Motorhead album as well. The last one that they did, and I also listen to quite a bit of reggae once in a while, just to offset the heaviness. You know, there's basically everything kind of influences us. There isn't really a certain genre of music that we listen to, but, well, you know, Soulfly is a good example, something we both love. A lot of us listen to that. The new Death Angel album is pretty good. I wouldn't say we sound like those guys, but, you know, guitar tones are great, and I think maybe, you know, a lot of the stuff we listen to, certain things influence you from different things, and you put them all together.
So could we see possibly more progressive stuff coming from the band at all, or, like...
Oh, yeah. I mean, right now, our drummer's about to go to the NAMM show, which is basically a show where they, him and his father are both drummers, and he does a lot of Latin percussion and things like that. He actually plays, been playing in various bands over the years, because he's a session drummer. So, you know, we could do just about anything if we wanted to. Every once in a while, it sounds like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, even. but nothing like that's on the record as of yet, so who knows. But yes, that's the answer to your question. I sure hope so.
Yeah, you mentioned, like, the second disc, which is obviously, like, older material. Could you talk me through some of the material which appears on this second disc?
Yeah, what I did is I did a timeline there, just sort of, you know, so as I was saying, people obviously don't know all the bands, and just sort of show where it started and where it ended, kind of at the last juncture. It starts with Condemned to Death songs from the first 7-inch and 12-inch, which is like 1982 to 84. So, in a few of the songs that I thought were just really, really representative of the time. And they were from a previous CD that was released years back of all the Condemned to Death stuff I've ever put out on Grand Theft Audio. And then I put in the Humanoid or Biomechanoid, which was the first full-length Nuclear Blast record ever released, so it's in its entirety there.
All right, I thought it was the second, but I don't know. That's what
the second, it's the second album, full-length, the second album ever released, but it's the first full-length, you know, band. The first one was a compilation called Senseless Death, which he also appeared on.
Okay.
And then Attitude has two live songs on there, too, so we were on that, and then the second album ever released was this Condemned full-length album. That was sort of why it was the first full-length. So it's a re-release of that. And now that's a really low-budget recording, so it's timeless. I was just talking to someone the other night and realized, you know, I look back, we did it in probably 3 practices. That was why I was in Vicious Circle. That's when I really formed and wrote all the music and then documented and then started playing music live. So it was kind of a reverse way of doing it. But some of it was very experimental. And it's on there in its full length. So that's where that's the feature from the Eco Blast past, and then it moves on to Condemned Attitude, which was the formation or joining of Condemned when I moved back from Australia, which was drummer Wade, who's now in the band, and the guys from Attitude Adjustment when they left, sort of split up after their first album that they put out. So basically, 3 of those guys came and played with me and the drummer, and we became a 5 something scaly, which was sort of more like Condemned, but without a fast drummer. So it was going a little more tribal drums, and it sounds a little more, I don't know exactly what it sounds like to other people, but it's not quite as hardcore as some of the earlier stuff, but a much better production, and some of the songs we recorded when we were in Australia. We recorded a whole album over there, which we never released. We had one of the album's songs on this disc. So that's where it kind of leaves off there, with something scaly. So, it's Condemned to Death, Condemned Attitude, something scaly, and then we've all got back together as just Condemned, which is where it all started. And we're really, really happy to just simplify it that way. The original Condemned was just about asking questions, and that's pretty much all we've been doing all our lives, so that's why we use that question mark at the end of our name, and we still have burning questions, let me tell you.
Okay, that's great. Obviously, like you said, the record's chronological, so do you feel it shows how the band musically progressed over the years?
To some extent, it's a bit more, it shows the different influences, and this new album is definitely more representation of how we all played together as a whole, the new drummer has actually got quite a lot of diversity, so this album, I feel, really represents it more, so. He was in the first lineup of Condemned Attitude, but then he quickly left, so we don't really have but one song on that compilation with him on it, so we're really excited that the songs he really stood out.
Okay, just wondering, is the band getting, a website designed or anything like that, or?
A website designed, Rick?
Yeah, getting designed, yeah.
Right now, we have a MySpace page and Facebook and that kind of thing that we've had hooked up. We're going to be getting our own website page here. It's just, we've got to find another person to help us with that, and sometimes that takes a little time. Right now we're finishing up the booklet, and a lot of the artwork we're using for that stuff can be using on the website, and so most likely we'll just be putting our artists' work on the website there on and creating a bunch of merchandise from the artwork. Now that's the exciting part, is the artist that we started with even back in the on the first Condemned album is still with me. He's a tattoo artist that did a lot of tattoos with us over the years, Greg Coles, and kind of got his own little fame over the years, but now he's more graphics and animation, so we've got this booklet we have is pretty much a history of all his art that he's done for us over every album we did, too. That's the new stuff, of course. But we're excited to work with him again, also. Him and Billy Anderson really make the team rounded out quite well with Nuclear Blast.
Well, how would you describe the industry nowadays compared to, say, in the early 80s, then?
Well, I've noticed that's the one thing that's sort of overwhelming. I believe someone told me the other day every town has at least 1,000 bands now. And I guess it wasn't quite that way when we first started out. The difference back then is the budget was so low that we were lucky if we got a good recording. And nowadays that you can get a lot of good recordings with lower budgets because some of the technology available. What I'm finding is, it seems like now with the good part of the technology, which is sometimes a challenge for us, is that you can spread your words more with your music. Whether or not a band can survive financially, I think you have to really do a lot of merchandising and things like that to really survive. So I think it's just changed because there's more competition, but yet there's also more ways to spread yourself out internationally. So I don't know, it's just more complicated. And it's also, there's a lot more, the old bands have been coming back a lot, I've noticed, and so you've got the old bands and the new bands and a lot more genres out there, all these subcategories that are hard to keep up with. There's a thing they're doing, like Headbanger's Journey and documenting all these subcategories, or no one would know what we're talking about. I don't know if you've seen that video on the Headbanger's Journey, but that really pretty interesting. We need to do a punk metal one that documents the history here so people understand when it started merging together.
Yeah, like you said, these bands are reuniting, but some of them, no offense to some of them, but it's more like a nostalgia trip, whereas it sounds like the Condemned is...
I noticed that, and I haven't seen them all. I mean, I'm sure some of them sound great, but I've heard rumors that some of them just sound like they did back in the day. The one thing that I'm excited about Condemned is we actually really never got an opportunity to peek out. That's why people really didn't hear us, and in a sense, I feel like we're a new band now, because we're not really going back to anything. The only reason we played the old stuff was to show where we started, but to be honest, our new music is just so new and powerful and so much more influenced by other things that as we go, I think we're going to excel where maybe other people already
what are the bands, what is the plan of action from you then for Condemned?
As I was mentioning, we're just finishing up the booklet here, actually, this weekend. So we'll be done with our CD, like, move on with the booking part. I'm just actually emailing people today. And we're definitely going to be coming over to Europe. I just got the